Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
I'm very happy to introduce Tony Fonderson, who is an author and mentor who specializes in relationship and marriage issues. He shares strategies and solutions with men and women that are dedicated to doing relationships well. And his videos about the ins and outs of dating and romance have touched millions online. We're very lucky to have him here live. Tony, I'm going to hand over to you. You need to unmute yourself and we will we await your session. Thank you.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you. Lovely, lovely to be here. Thank you so much for attending this session. My name is Tony Fonderson. I'm a relationship guide and coach, and I like to help people who have found love to stay in love after the honeymoon period has worn off. This afternoon, I first want to say a big, big thanks to Mark Walsh, to Christina, to Ilani, to Kat, and to our wonderful tech host here at the Embodiment Conference. It's a great honor to be here sharing this afternoon with you. So, where is everybody calling in from? I see we've got people are coming into the room, whizzing in by. So could you please put on the chat where you're calling in from? I'm in the Netherlands. Oh no.
Sorry, I missed that.
I see, from Thailand, Vienna, Hungary, Portugal, Vancouver, BC, Canada, Amsterdam. Wow, it looks like we've got a worldwide crowd from London, Germany, Moscow, Graz in Vienna, from Singapore. Wow, this is absolutely fantastic. Well, we're all part of a worldwide family and we're all interested in relationships. And this afternoon, I'd like to spend some time just sharing some ideas with you about choosing the right partner, because relationships are all beautiful. I'll take my glasses off, I think that's much better. We all love to be in relationships because relationships magnify our human experience. But relationships can be quite complicated because they hold so much importance for us. They are full of hope at the beginning, and once the initial honeymoon period has worn off, sometimes we run into challenges, and it's not so easy to navigate through those challenges as we might have hoped for. So what I'm going to share with you is a few ideas, a few tips, and a few suggestions for how to start your relationship right, because a wise man once said that selection is better than training. And the challenge with romantic relationships, especially when we start, is that we tend to get carried away. We tend to get swept away by our hearts, by our minds, and by our hormones. And it's beautiful. It's like everything seems brighter. Everything seems much more intense. And the world seems much more optimistic, and everything that we dream of, we place our hopes in this relationship. When you meet someone who sees you, who knows you, who wants to be with you, it's an absolute joy. The question is, how do we sustain that long term? So just before I start, I've got a couple of slides which I'd like to share with you, but I'd like to just take the temperature of the room a bit. How many people here are actually in a relationship right now? How many people here are either married or coupled? Could you just type in a one in the chat so I can see that? Oh, one's whizzing by. Wow. So we've got quite a few people who've already chosen their partner, so makes my job quite easier. How about people who are not yet in a relationship, who are single? Can you please type an S in the chat? Oh, I see lots of S's whizzing by. Wow. Lots of single people here. Wow, I hope that this is going to be useful for you. How many people don't know if they're single or not? You're not quite sure if you're taken or not. You're in that intermediate phase. Could you please type in an I for intermediate? I see Peter types me. Yeah. Sometimes, as I said, relationships can be quite confusing. So, okay, so we see we've got a fairly good mix of people who are single, people who are coupled, and people who are not quite sure where they are. And of course, are there any people here who are single, but they've got their eye on someone and they're working on it? Type in a W for working on it. Hi, Gabby, I see you. Yeah, thank you, Katrina. Thanks, Kat. Thanks, Rebecca. Great, fantastic. Well, I'm just going to switch to my presentation now, and let's get right into it. Let's see, share the screen. Great. So can you see my presentation? Can anybody see that?
Yes.
Can you please type in? Yeah. Excellent. Great. Now, just going to take you through this. Let's see. Good. Okay. So what do we mean by relationship here? In this context here, the different types of relationships for different people, there are actually seven different types of relationships. You can have a monogamous relationship, you can have a polyamorous relationship, you can have a friends with buddies relationship. There are all sorts of different constellations. And relationships are containers in which two people relate to each other in a very special way. I'm not going to actually go into the different types of relationships here. That's something else. But in this context here, I really want to talk about relationships in which the following principles are true. Relationships in which you are seen, relationships in which you're cared for, and in relationships in which your needs are recognized and validated. If any of this resonates with you, is this the type of relationship that, you know, is our understanding okay? Great. I see Brian laughing. Yeah, great. Thanks, Montio. Yeah. So these three characteristics are really, really important because you can have some relationships which are very, very trivial, but I'm talking about something in which it's really a union between two people, which has something much deeper, something much more conscious. And I believe that these are essential, fundamental pillars of any relationship. We all want to be seen for who we actually are, not for who other people want us to be. Even if we go out there in the world and we have to play a role, ideally, the only role play that we want to play with our relationship partner is a consensual role play. We want to be able to really reveal our identity to them, and we want them to be able to reveal their identities to us. The second important feature here about these types of relationships, which I'm going to describe tonight, is the amount of care and the amount of love that exists, that is present. Between two partners, I believe that there must be care, because some people get into relationships for all of the wrong reasons. Some people get into relationships for reasons of dependency. Some people get into relationships for reasons because they're escaping other things. I'm talking really here about a relationship in which there is benevolence, in which you have a feeling, in which you want to enrich your partner's life, and you're also receiving that type of positive enrichment. So your presence in your partner's life and their presence in your life is something uplifting and enriching. So there's mutual care and affection for one another. And last but not least, there's also the recognition that your needs are important. This is really, some people really think that just because they care about one another, your needs are actually important and valid to one another, valuable to one another. But unfortunately, having seen so many relationships break down, that is not necessarily the case. You can have people who care about each other in terms of the affection that they feel for one another, but they don't value each other's needs in the way that is actually desired. You have relationships where people feel that one partner feels that their needs are much more important than the other partner's needs. And eventually that leads to withdrawal, that leads to resentment, that leads to disconnection, not connection. And this is one of the main reasons why relationships can quickly transform from a place of joy to a place of pain. So we're not talking about that. So we'll talk about relationships in which we're seen, relationships in which we're cared about, and relationships in which we are valued. And I hope that we also offer that to our partners. Otherwise, it's not really a conscious relationship, it's something else. When things go bad in relationships, this is a cycle that I've noticed, which really takes place. It starts with self-judgment, when one partner really realizes that things aren't really going in the way that they want things to go. So how can the immediate natural reaction to that, the reflexive reaction to that, is to look at oneself and start judging oneself. Feelings of anxiety can get triggered, feelings of shame and feelings of blame. And usually this gets stuck in a cycle. And sometimes it really is a ping pong where one partner feels self-judgment, gets anxious, blames the other partner. The other partner then gets triggered, gets anxious, blames them. And it's very, very easy to get stuck in this cycle. So this is one of the typical patterns that lots of couples find themselves in when things aren't going on well in their relationships. And obviously, if you're interested in starting a relationship, or if you're interested in being in a relationship in which your love life is actually improved as time goes on, this is one of the cycles that you want to avoid. And if you're stuck in it, you want to break. The question is, how can we do that? And the biggest and the most significant predictor of the success of your relationship really is down to your attachment style. The three main attachment styles: you have secure attachment, you have anxious attachment, and you have avoidant attachment. And these three attachment styles, basically, there are other sub-styles which fall under these three main categories. But what we need in a relationship in order for that relationship to really thrive is for that relationship to be an environment in which we can be securely attached to our partners. And secure attachment comes, built on actually five different pillars. The very, very first pillar is feeling safe, is safety. So if you're looking for a relationship, and if you want to have a happy relationship long-term, it's really, really important for you to be able to feel safe in that relationship context. Unfortunately, that's not the case. But without safety, we usually feel threatened, we usually feel highly on alert, and we need soothing and reassurance in order to fully be embodied and fully be actually present, both with ourselves and with our partners in a relationship. So safety is actually paramount. And people who are anxiously attached, they have certain patterns in which coping mechanisms that they use in order to feel safe in their relationship. People who are avoidant, they have a different type of mechanism which they use in order to feel safe in a relationship. And people who are secure, basically they have the best type of attachment patterns which guarantee a loving, enduring, and fulfilling and mutually enjoyable relationship. So since secure attachment is the kind of gold standard, this is what we should really be aiming for in the relationships that we form, the bonds that we form with one another, if the intention is to have a long-term, secure, long-term, stable relationship. Safety is the first thing. When you're securely attached, and when you are usually with a partner that makes you feel safe, that makes you feel protected. Feeling seen and known is another important characteristic. You want to be able to feel in an embodied sense, not an actual, just a cognitive sense, not just mentally in your mind. You want to actually be able to feel that your partner sees you and knows you as you really are, that they know your true identity. That's really important. Next, you want to feel valued. Feeling valued really, really means that your needs are recognized and your needs get met. Even if your partner doesn't meet your needs, that they support you in getting those needs met and they do not put any obstacles. I see a lot of couples who have a lot of competition between them, and competition, unless you're playing Ludo or you're playing Sudoku or a nice video game, in between couples isn't a very, very healthy thing, as long as, you know, when the ego actually gets involved, that can actually be quite damaging. Feeling like a source of delight. What this means is that you feel as if that you know that your presence brings joy to your partner. When you know that your partner is happy and delighted to be in your presence, that's a great promoter of secure attachment. And finally, feeling supported in your development. So as human beings, we all evolve and we all grow, and we don't stay stagnant. We want to have a partner that actually is supportive of our hopes, our dreams, and our needs, and actually encourages us rather than actually detracts from us. So any comments in the chat? Any questions so far? No?
Yeah, we have a question from Natalie. Talking to the cycle that you were talking to earlier, and Natalie asked, what if the cycle begins with judgment of the other and of the other, not with self-judgment?
Yes, well, that's a form of projection. So judgment of the other, well, I would put judgment of the other, I would put that in the blame category, even though it's not probably there. If you judge another person, obviously they are not meeting a certain standard which you want met in the relationship. And obviously you have the right to actually express your the challenges, the problems that you're facing in relationship, and communication is one of the cornerstones of all good relationships. Now, the way in which you communicate your unhappiness or your displeasure has just as much impact as what you're communicating to your partner. So your communication style is a great factor which will determine either the relative success or failure of this conversation that you're going to have with your partner when you are judging them. And secondly, when you judge somebody, there's always a little kernel of self-judgment in there, because lots of judgments are actually rooted in projection, whereby our partners may display a characteristic which we reject, or which is in our own personal shadow, and we deny it in ourselves, and therefore we reject that in our partners when they show that up, when they show that to us. But relationships are like giant mirrors. You're going to trigger each other from time to time, and you're going to push each other's buttons. And usually the buttons that you push are the ones which actually are the most, how can I say, disruptive to your peace of mind. So judgment does actually exist, yes. It's a human thing. I don't believe that any human being actually can exist without any judgment all the time, 24/7, throughout lifetime. Even the best of us have lapses from moment to moment, and it comes with the territory. The question is, what do you do with that judgment? How do you tackle those judgments in your relationship? Do you tackle them in a constructive way? Can you admit to yourself that you are judging your partner, which from your question, it actually seems as if you're doing that. And can you take that? Can you open up a conversation and say something to your partner like, hey, babe, I noticed that I am judging you because of, you know, you did this behavior and it had this effect on me. And one of the effects that it has on me is that it's bringing up a lot of judgment from me towards you. I don't want to judge you, but I'd like us to sit down and discuss and see how we can work towards some kind of mutually agreeable resolution of our relationship. So you're right, judgment of the other does come here. And in this little diagram here, it's represented under this blame section. Yeah. So as Muntia says, effective communication skills are really, really important.
Yeah. Right. And we have another question. I don't know if you want to talk to this now. Claire mm-hmm. says, if you grew up in an environment where you were taught to minimize your own needs, how do you get comfortable with your own needs, articulating them without fear or anxiety?
Yeah. That's really, really challenging. And that's one of the root causes, I believe, of a lot of relationship strife and a lot of pain in the world. A lot of us, through culture, through religion, through tradition, are taught to suppress our own individual needs for others. And it's rooted in, how can I say, it's rooted in a good intention. We live in a society which places very, very high moral value on people who are sacrificial. For people who come from the Christian tradition, Jesus Christ, you know, he made the ultimate sacrifice. And in Christian doctrine, that is something which Christians are taught to emulate as being something very, very positive. But I believe that that has its limits. And for our own healthy development, we have to be able to find the right balance between getting our own needs met as well as meeting other people's needs. It cannot be a one-sided pattern. If it's one-sided, it will give root to negative effects like martyrdom, you know, resentment, bitterness, self-judgment, and to cope with those kinds of things can be very, very detrimental to your physical health and your mental health. But unfortunately, a lot of us fall into that category. So, you know, it's very, very helpful to educate oneself and to do what needs to be done and to get whatever assistance and support that you can so that there is at least some balance and some equilibrium between the way that you go out of your way to meet other people's needs and the way that you meet your own needs. So I would encourage you to treat yourself with the same consideration and with the same respect and with the same priority as you treat other people. You have to meet your own needs. You have to get some satisfaction in your life from your own efforts. You have to treat yourself kindly. Because if you do not love yourself, if you do not value yourself, and if you do not treasure yourself, it's very, very difficult for you to be able to do that to other people to any sustainable degree. You can do it only so far. And then after that, your tank will run dry, and it's very, very easy for you to slip into a pattern of depression, for you to slip into a pattern of ill health, bitterness, and resentment, or to actually end up hating the people that you're making all of these sacrifices for. So that's a trap which a lot of us fall into. I mean, I've been there myself. I totally empathize and understand that. And it took me a lot of years, many, many years, to actually emerge from that pattern. And it's the constant effort every day not to slip back into that. But you have to really treat yourself with the same kindness, with the same compassion, and the same consideration as you treat your partner. Don't sacrifice yourself for them all the time. You can do it temporarily from time to time when they need support, but you have to be kind to yourself. That's why when you're on an airplane, they tell you that when the oxygen mask falls, you have to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you put it on your child. Otherwise, you get injured and you're of no valuable use to anybody, least of all to yourself. And you're here, you're alive. You deserve to have a good life. You deserve to have a happy life. And you deserve love and you deserve joy in your life. And some of that has to come from you towards yourself. Okay.
Wonderful. Compassion is always the answer. I don't know. One more question that I want to ask that somebody's posed. I don't know if you want to stop sharing screen while you answer.
Okay. Yeah. Then I can see. Yeah. Then we can see each other. Yeah.
So we have two questions that are quite related. So I'm just going to kind of ask them as one. Karen asks, what can you do if you ask for your needs to be met, but the other person can't do that because of a different attachment style? And Plev is asking a similar thing. What are the actions or steps or safe ways we can practice for articulating our needs? I think those two questions are a little similar.
Yeah. I would educate yourself on attachment skills. Well, get relationship skills, unfortunately. What I'm going to share with you a little bit later tries to prevent this problem up front. But if you're already in a relationship with somebody and obviously you're bonded to them, you love them, obviously it's not a matter of changing your partner. What you would have to do is to actually get to know each other's attachment styles and try to gain some skills in actually bridging the gap between the two. So education is the shortest path to resolving this. I would say educate yourself on different attachment styles: anxious attachment, preoccupied attachment, avoidant attachment, disorganized attachment. This conference has some absolutely fantastic speakers, especially in this channel, who, you know, they are just absolutely, people like Gabor Maté, lots of people do attachment and trauma-based work. I would start from there. And basically, try to understand your own attachment style, familiarize yourself with your partner's attachment style, and then try to relate to them using language that they can understand in their own language. And in my course, in my book, I've got a framework, a method called From Struggling to Coupling, and part of that is actually, I spend a lot of time on attachment and communication. And I'll show you a little diagram a little bit later on. Communication is one of the key factors, and I use that when I advise my clients on how to pick a partner. I, advise them to know their communication styles and during the dating phase to familiarize yourself with your partner's communication style so that when you transmit a message to them, the message actually lands. Because communication is not just about saying something, it's about actually the listener receiving what you transmitted or what you intended to transmit. And that involves active listening, that involves so many different things, it involves nonverbal communication and so many skills like that. So communication is really the key there. So if you have a different attachment style, usually familiarize yourself with your partner's attachment style and then try to use that as a springboard to build the communication bridge between the two of you in order to resolve your problems. Otherwise, you'll get stuck in your own communication styles, and instead of you resolving the problem, you'll just keep on butting heads and missing one another. Usually, happens very often that people who have anxious attachments, they usually pair up with people who have avoidant attachments because they each have complementary styles and skills, which at the beginning of a relationship is very, very fascinating. But in the course of a relationship, once you get over that phase, people then regress back to their normal styles and then they keep on missing each other. So it's good for you to know about that. Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah, great. And if you want to carry on and we can come to
some questions a bit later. I will just, let's see if I can get the switch back to the screen now. Let me see. I just lost my screen.
Sorry. Don't worry at all.
Yeah, just go ahead. So are there any people here who are actually considering going out with somebody and actually came to this session specifically to make a choice? Or are you here more out of just general interest? You put on the chat. Yes, both. Both, just to learn. Okay, love helps to make a choice. Wow, general interest. Yeah, yeah. Because this is so funny, right? You know, we didn't learn this stuff in school. I don't know, did any of you go to relationship school? I certainly didn't. And when I started going out, I wish I'd had a little bit more education on how my heart worked and how my body worked and how communication worked and how I could interact with other people, because that was something which was just completely alien to me. So, yeah, let's see.
You want us to share your presentation?
Yes, I've got it. Yeah, I'm gonna just share the screen now. And we are back here. Okay. So, all right, so the first part that we felt was about feeling safe. When you care about someone, going back to our discussion about having starting a relationship from a base, from a secure base, you want to look for somebody that makes you feel safe, someone that makes you feel protected, somebody who shows interest in trying to anticipate anytime that you're stressed, and someone who can soothe you and try to make things return to normal quickly. So safety is an absolute prerequisite for relationships. If you're in a relationship, or if you're considering going out with somebody who makes you feel unsafe, I would advise you to reconsider that, because if you can spot that you're not going to be safe right now at the early stage of relationship, chances are, as the relationship progresses, if you do continue down this path, things aren't going to change. So that's one of the things. So safety, your safety is always paramount. Never sacrifice your safety in the name of infatuation. Secondly, you're looking for somebody who makes you feel seen and someone who feels known, as we've said. You should be able to see your partner or your date or your prospect for who they are, and see, and also they should also be able to see you for who you are. So you want to be able to be vulnerable and actually reveal yourself to this person. And you want to make sure that anybody you're considering going out with is worthy of you actually placing your heart in their hands, metaphorically and literally. Of course, you want to feel valued. The most important thing that you're looking for here is your needs are important to me. Are your needs really, really being seen and acknowledged? Many people have needs in relationships and their partner questions them. Why do you want that? Why is that so important to you? And dismiss them and just basically marginalize them. That's not good. You know, you don't want somebody who makes you feel ashamed of you having a need. Maybe they do not have the same need as you, and maybe they do not even believe that what you need is important or good for you, but if they shame you or blame you for having a need, that is an absolute red flag. It's an absolute no-no. And you want to be respected, at least you have your needs respected and acknowledged as being important, even if to you, even if it's not important to your partner. Of course, this is very easy, being feeling cared for. We love each other, we want to care each other, we want to be with each other. Usually at the beginning of a relationship, you have a lot of physical attraction, but that physical attraction can be a double-edged sword. It can get you carried away and blind you to certain potential red flags. So, but of course, you want somebody that cares for you. That's an absolute importance. And you should also be prepared to care for your partner. And of course, feeling support. Feeling support is very important. We want to have a sense of support. And as we grow and as we evolve and as we change, because nobody stays static all the time, we hope that that support will also be there when we grow and evolve and we change. So you want to choose a partner with whom you believe that you are growing and they will stick with you for the long term. You don't want somebody who will reject you if you change, or you don't want somebody whom, as they're evolving, you're trying to cling on and to hold them back. Yeah. So we've got about 22 minutes now. I just wanted to switch to a little bit to a more embodied part of a presentation here. So, because of course, yeah, we're in the embodied conference and I've been speaking a lot and that's all in the mind. But I'd like to invite you just to join me for just a little exercise here. And it's about listening with your body. And we're just gonna connect to ourselves and just check in with our bodies and find out how we feel when we ask ourselves, that little place inside of us, that tender place that we want to love, that we want to share, find out how we react within our bodies and within ourselves to these five concepts, which are the pillars of secure relationships. So if you can just get into a relaxed pose now, one thing I like to do, I like to put my ring fingers together. Do this. I don't know if you can see this on the camera. Yeah, you put your ring fingers together and then just put that in your lap and maybe close your eyes. I can stop sharing the screen now because now we're going embodied. I'm just gonna relax and go into phase here. So just relax. Take a couple of deep breaths. See if you can slow down your breathing and come into yourself. And I invite you just to scan your body. Start with your heart, your chest, your solar plexus, if you can connect to your heart. And can you connect to that deep, beautiful, lovely, sacred part of you that holds all of your wishes to love, to be loved, to cherish? And just ask it, just say this to yourself deep inside. You are safe with me. And just feel. How do you respond? You are safe with me. And here's the second statement. I see you. How does it feel to be seen for who you really are in all of your glory, in your purest, most undefended form? I see you. You can take a few breaths. And how do you respond to this statement? I value you. I value you. Just take that in. I feel, let that settle and let that sink in. And the next statement that I invite you to receive is this. I delight in caring for you. Caring for you brings me joy. And let that land. And here's another one. I support your growth and your evolution. So what would it be like? And how does it feel to be safe with your beloved? To feel seen? To be valued, to know that your needs are important and are validated. How does it feel to know that you are a source of joy and delight to your beloved? How does it feel to be supported as you grow, as you explore, and as you evolve in your journey as a spiritual being in a human body on this planet right now? Notice your internal response. And whatever you feel, whether it be a tensing, a relaxation, quivering, sense of spaciness, or sense of groundedness, it's all okay. And if you just take time, as we begin to come back now, I invite you to take a couple of breaths. Inhale. Hold your breath. And let it go. And slowly, let the tension release in your body. You can move your neck, roll your shoulders, expand your chest, open your eyes, and come back to center. Welcome back. How are you doing? How's everyone feeling right now? Did you touch something that you haven't touched in a while? How did it feel to hear that you're valued? Oh wow, Someone said it made her cry. Happiness, joy, tears, calming, emotional. Yes, my friends. Deep down, we all want to be seen. We all want to be loved. Even if we have high self-esteem and we know that we are valuable, we want that reflected. And we want to reflect that. We want to be someone that gives that love to that special person. And when you're considering going out with a partner, have this in mind. Ask yourself, is this someone with whom I can feel safe? Is this someone who sees me for who I really am? Is this someone that can take my needs seriously? Is this someone that can take delight and take joy, who cares for me, not because they're caring for me out of obligation or out of duty or from a place of martyrdom, but who cares for me because caring for me gives them joy? And is this someone who's going to support me and clap for me as I strive to achieve my goals? But that's not the only thing, my friends, because beautiful as it is for you to find someone who does that for you, are you prepared to do that for them? Because today, what I'd like to share with you is that if you're not prepared to go into a relationship, if you're looking in for a relationship and you're not prepared to provide a safe space for your partner, if you're not prepared to see them, to value them, to care for them, and to care for them from a place of joy, and if you're not prepared to clap for them, to encourage them, and to really, really cheer them on as they grow and evolve, then I must ask you, why or why do you want to be in a relationship? Because you've got that in you. We just spent 4 or 5 minutes ago touching that part in ourselves. And if you want to have a relationship, I invite you and I encourage you to start from a place, that place. Okay, and so we've got 5 minutes for questions. Are there any questions?
Yeah, there are. I just want to say there was a lot of amazing feedback coming through after that practice, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are a few questions. I'm going to just go through those in the order kind of that they came in. So there was a question earlier on about what tips do you have if both partners are conflict averse? Do you have like one, where would you start with that?
Are both avoided, are both conflict averse? Well, the first place to start with that is to actually admit it. I would start engaging a conflict, have a conversation, an honest conversation, and say, hey, I find it really, really difficult to be in a situation whereby there's a lot of tension and there's a lot of, you know, this is a situation that really, really makes me feel uncomfortable. And I noticed that you're also uncomfortable there, so we bond over that. Maybe both of us can actually step outside of our conflict comfort zones and start with something small, be honest, and preface your discussion if you have a problem with the fact that, look, I'm saying this to you from a place of love with the intention of resolving things, and not coming from a place of blame or shame or accusation. So I love you, I will always love you, and I want things to be even better between us. So that's where I would start. I mean, I could go and I could give you a lot more, but yeah, that's where I would start.
Whole conference on that.
Yes. Any other questions?
Yeah, so Clev asked, can we change our attachment styles with time?
Yes, it is possible. You can with over time. It takes some effort, but it is possible for you to change from either anxious, preoccupied, or avoidant to what we call earned secure attachment. That's how it's called in the literature. Usually that takes professional guidance and intervention. So I would, you know, try to consult with a, you know, well, highly regarded attachment-based therapist who's actually qualified to do that. But it definitely, definitely is possible. You're not condemned to actually keep your attachment style throughout your life if you're willing to do the effort to change it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and we've got another question, which I'm just going to, I just want to make sure I get it across properly. So Yvette asks, what happens when feeling safe, seen and known mm-hmm. is bound up with feeling familiar? For example, if you have insecure attachment, the insecurity mm-hmm. is all you know from early attachment.
Yeah.
From personal experience, it's quite hard to know what these secure states feel like if you've never felt them before.
That is correct. It would be, well, I mean, I believe that, you know, relationships really start from the self. What I teach and what I advocate is self-love, self-knowledge, self-awareness. That's like really like step one of what I, yeah, what I practice and actually advocate. You have to really start from a place of self-love and self-discovery. And then from that place, then you can start exploring with somebody else. If you're fortunate enough to have a really, really good partner who is actually cares about you and cares about your well-being, they can assist you. They can speed up that journey. So they can hold space for you whilst you take that journey, but it really starts with yourself. And I would seek help or seek assistance or in a group or counseling or through connecting with people like, you know, the presenters here for that. Yeah, that's where I would start with that. But, you know, you're absolutely right. It starts from yourself. And if you're not familiar with that, especially if, you know, due to experiences you've had in your childhood, in your family of origin experiences or stuff that you had in your childhood whereby you've never really felt safe, then it's very, very difficult for you to recognize safety. However, the heart is a magnificent and a wonderful thing. When you are in the presence of safety or when you're in a safe environment, you will notice the difference. There'll be such a difference between what you're familiar with and this new experience of safety that you'll register that difference and then naturally you want to move towards that.
Cool. And I think we'll just take one more, which is just picking up on the subject of safety as you touched on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just ask, what do you mean by safety? What do you mean by safety? I think it
probably. What do I mean by safety?
And so Petra says, I heard and thought quite many times that real safety is an illusion because everything can change all the time. So maybe we can just talk for 1 minute to.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I think safety, yes, is really rooted in, it's really knowing who you are and knowing that you are okay as a human being. And it is rooted in yourself because everything on the outside changes, even you yourself, you change. However, there's also external safety because relationships are containers in which, you know, you can be physically threatened whereby, you know, you need to be sure that, you know, you've got shelter, you need to be sure that you've got food, you need to be sure that you're not going to be exposed to any harm, whether that harm be psychological, emotional, or physical. So you've got the external safety aspect whereby, you know, somebody can harm you or injure you, but there's also the internal safety aspect, and it's a combination of both. So that's my definition of that.
Wonderful, thank you. I heard, I think it was Paul Linden recently say that safety is a skill set.
Yes.
We can, you know, learn to how to help keep ourselves safe.
Yes, everything. I mean, it's all about relation. I mean, you know, I teach relationship skills. My life changed when I got some relationship skills because it was something else. And just to share this slide again, these are the five things. You know, you're safe with me. I see you. I value you. I delight in caring for you. And I support your growth and evolution. if you could use these as touchstones, i.e. both for yourself, you know, can you make, are you willing to make someone safe? Are you willing to see your prospective partner? Are you willing to take their needs into consideration? Do you experience joy when you care for them? Do you support them in growing and evolving? And can you expect that for them? Can you expect that from them towards you? If this is true, then you know that, you know, you're on a good track. And I wish you good luck, so.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tony. I am going to, if I can just ask you to stop your screen share. Okay. I'm going to make a couple of announcements, and then I'm going to come back to you for the final word. So just bear with me a few moments. So first of all, obviously, massive thank you. It's been amazing to have you live on our conference. The channel has got a couple of very related topics coming up, actually, because you were talking a lot about the heart. So the next session we've got on this channel after the keynote is Jaya Raja talking about how to listen and speak from the heart. And actually, self-plug, on the 23rd, I'm doing a session about the treasure chest of the heart, a pirate's adventure, and how we can, practical tips for exploring that. So we are sharing the link now to the Facebook group where you can carry on the conversation. You're also invited into the coffee breaks, which you can access through the portal. And of course, we're going to post your website link, Tony, so that people can find out more about you if they don't know you already.
Sure. Yeah.
And just one last thing, you can, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is available for 48 hours, this recording for free. After that time, you can buy the recording. And there's a couple of reasons that you might want to do that. It's a time, it gives you time to kind of digest all of the sessions that are going on across the channel, or if you buy the whole conference package across the whole conference. There's a lot to take in, and of course it's when we kind of sit with things that we really sort of absorb the learning. So it gives you a bit more time. It's also a kind of thank you to the team who put the conference on. Most of the people working on the team are volunteers, and we do it because we're totally passionate about it and we want to get embodiment out to as many people as possible. So if you can afford to support it by buying the recordings, that allows us to kind of keep doing that work. So it's a kind of gratitude act. And if you can't afford it, that's totally fine. You can watch the recordings for 48 hours for free. And I always think I've forgotten something when I go through my little list. No, that's it. So I'm just going to come back to you, Tony, for your last, your last comment. We're asking all of our presenters, what is your top tip for staying embodied? We'll ask you that, and then we'll close the session.
Well, my top tip for staying embodied is to dialogue with yourself. We had a very short demonstration of just asking ourselves questions. Just close your eyes, go into your body, find that place. There is a secret place, or some of us have many secret places within us, where your essence resides, and have conversations with yourself. You'll be amazed at the responses you get from your own divinity and your essence. You're wonderful, you're powerful, you deserve love, and you deserve to love. So thank you very much, and all the best.
Beautiful, gorgeous closing. Thanks, Tony, and thanks to those of you who came. Thanks to our tech host. Thanks to all of those of you who put questions in. I'm sorry we didn't have time to get around to all of them. I'm sure we could do a whole conference on this, but thank you. It's been
And if there are any questions that I didn't answer, if we can put them in the Facebook group, then I'll pop in there, and you know, we can continue the conversation.
That would be amazing. We'll just get the tech to post the
news. Thank you so much for everyone for coming, for spending this hour with me, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend. There are lots of great sessions, so take advantage of them. Thanks a million.